Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show, we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. Back to give you another sci-fi news podcast for this week. So before I even get started, there is some quick news I would like to relate to you. So, as I've mentioned before, Mr. Gene and I are going to Dragon Con. So we're both very excited and very eager to see a grand con that I've never seen before. I think this will be his second, but in any case, we're both are eager to go to Dragon Con. So, even better news is that Thursday night, if you're planning to be at Dragon Con, Thursday night at 10 p.m. at the 22nd Story Bar at the Hyatt, the ESO Network, which I am part of, are going to host a meet and greet. So, if you're curious of what I look like, and I don't know why you would be, in any case, you have an opportunity to meet not just me and Mr. Gene, but everyone else that I help promote on this podcast for the ESO Network. So please stop by and say hello. I would love to hear from you. So with that bit of news, let's get started with the big three topics, which I'm going to have to hold off because I do have some quick tidbit news that I want to get into. Recently, Star Wars Episode 9 is getting a rewrite, which, you know, I'm not that worried, considering at least it's happening now, and unlike the untitled Han Solo movie that happened recently with the problem with the directors being fired, let's iron out all these problems before we actually start filming. That's all I care about. This movie is scheduled to open up on May 24th, 2019. Unlike the previous two movies, Last Jedi and The Force Awakens, which open up in December, so that will definitely be a switch for that. The other quick tidbit news is John Cena, who to me is really making the transition like The Rock did from wrestling to more acting roles. So he is now going to be part of the, dare I say it, the Bumblebee spin-off movie, which, you know, everyone has to start somewhere, and I guess you just have to start with that, John Cena. So, not that it's a bad thing. I'm all 100% behind John Cena. I want him to succeed like The Rock did, and I think he has the great qualities that will make him a great crossover actor from that genre to more films. The problem lies is that, one, you have a spinoff of the Transformers, which honestly, the last one tanked. I've not seen it. Maybe I will on DVD. But the fact that they have 14 more movies, that's a problematic situation. Two, this movie is coming out against Aquaman on the very same day. So whether or not you're good or this movie is bad, I don't care. I'm not seeing Bumblebee when Aquaman is coming out. that is the thing that I am waiting for. So, sorry. But good luck to you, John Cena. And lastly, this is also making the rounds. If you happen to be looking for a job and you have the right skill sets, well, it looks like NASA is looking for you to be its own, I guess, Men in Black, to be a guardian of the galaxy-ish. So yeah, you can be a planetary protection officer. And it is a real job. And I actually looked on the government site, and it seems to be only a single position, but it is a six-figured position, so it's not that bad. But I guess, what kind of things would you be fighting or be expected to do? That's kind of like it's up in the air. But you do get the report to the Office of the Planetary Protection, so if you know what that means, you're reporting to the OPP. And you know me, I'm all in. Just for that one joke, I can just say that. So, yeah, that sounds fun, doesn't it? All right, let's move on. Because I'm already... Let's just move on. So the big three topics that I'm going to be talking about. And I'm going to start off with... Steven Spielberg is not happy with the fact that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is his least favorite movie. Alright. Already have issues right off from that statement. We also have Hans Zimmer also joining Blade Runner 2049 as co-composer, or he's going to be helping out with the score. And last, we have some casting news for the upcoming Flash Season 4 series. So the article that I was reading has to do with an upcoming HBO documentary, and he talked about the hatred that he had for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So I will start by saying with this. Did you not see Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? I know you made it. You directed it. Did you not watch it? Because that was god-awful. Nowhere did I felt that that was the ideal Indiana Jones, being a much older version and more stunt-reliant and having other people do his stunts. If there was a problem with Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I'll give you 2 points. One, this is the movie that made PG-13, the rating, happen. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was rated as a PG movie, but because of the imagery and what was portrayed on the screen, which was much more darker in tone than first Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'll give you that. But that's the movie in which we got the PG-13 rating. So even with that, it's still not a horrible movie. The second point, this one I have an issue for. The sight gag, or the joke that runs between Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, is that if you see Indiana Jones shooting when he's trying to get Marion back in the first movie, and there is a swordsman who is going through the moves of showing off his sword skills, and basically Indiana Jones takes out his gun and shoots him dead. Boom. Hysterical. The second movie, we have then the exact same joke, except that the gun is missing since the very beginning of that film. So when he tries to do the exact same thing now with two guys with swords, the joke is he has no gun and he can't shoot. Here's the rub. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is a prequel, not a sequel. So in order for that joke to work, it plays off the fact that it's supposed to be a sequel and it's not. So it's not as funny when you realize that was the intent. So at first viewing, haha, it's great. But it doesn't work now that you know that it's supposed to be a prequel. So So those are the only two things that I would have to complain about with that movie. And third, which I forgot to mention, you met your wife there. That's how you met Kate Capshaw. So I don't see how it's a bad thing, the fact that you got to make this movie and you met your future wife there. But in any case, I don't think Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is that bad. In fact, by the time we get to the third one, The Last Crusade, to me, I thought, even by then, I felt you really are kind of feeling you're running out of gas. You have to introduce other characters to carry the movie, like Sean Connery. Albeit, it was fantastic. I enjoyed myself. But it didn't capture any of the magic that the first movie did, and even less so with the second movie. So, but honestly, by the time we get to the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, you're not even in the same ballpark. This is just a parody of what it used to be. And you're passing that off as something that is quality. And then we're going to get a fifth one, which on top of that, if there's a blessing in disguise, George Lucas will not be part of that. So I'm not that I'm eager to see another Indiana Jones movie. I just think it's time that you take Harrison Ford out of the picture. As much as we love that character and the character that he plays, it's time for us to continue the character that has more energy than what we've been seeing for the past couple of movies. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm sure if you want to chime in, please go to my Facebook page and let your thoughts be heard, because I'm curious to find out if you think Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom is really that bad. Again, honestly, I don't think it is. Not by a long shot. All right, so one of the cool things that I'm excited about, and again, I've not watched the last trailer for Blade Runner 2049, as I mentioned. By the time I get to the third trailer, you're going to be watching way too much of the movie. So I've avoided it. I haven't done the Comic-Con panel, nor the trailer that came out after that. But I am still curious about the news that's coming out. Now, because Vangelis did the original score to Blade Runner, and that's one of my ultimate favorite composers to that film, it's hard to imagine someone else redoing or continuing the Blade Runner movie a la Vangelis. So you're going to have to come up with something that sounds like it, but you're not going to be able to do any justice if you're not Vangelis. So the closest that I see happening, and this happened recently, is that Hans Zimmer was brought in to help with the score. Now, Hans, to me, has been since, like, way, way back with, like, The Lion King, has been phenomenal with what he does. And so this past week, I learned something about his music style, and that makes me feel even more confident as to why they're bringing him in to help out with the score. Now, I've been watching a lot of Batman, The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, and even Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. There are times in which, like, especially in the Joker scene, there is this rising pitch, and Mr. Gene hates that music, but to me, it's on point when it comes to the Joker, because it has this eerie sound that it's a high pitch note that is very unnerving. So what I heard, or what I learned, is that it's referred to as a Shepard tone. Basically, it's taking three audio tracks, which is one octave different from each other. So what he's doing is that the first note, as it rises, or as it goes to the higher end of the scale, it gets quieter. The middle one remains constant, whereas the lower one is the bass starts then become audible towards the end. So when you put it all together, it's referred to as a Shepard tone. And that tone is what sounds like an increasing scale, but it's not really doing that. It's more like an auditory illusion. So that's why when you hear that noise or that pitch happening for the Joker whenever he's on the screen, it's very unnerving because it doesn't seem to end. It just keeps on going on and on and on. And then there's a break after that. But if they're bringing him to help with their Blade Runner score, I'm more happier with the fact that he's doing this, and now I know about what his musical talents can bring. So, not that I think that Blade Runner is going to be a la The Dark Knight Rises or Dark Knight, but it does give you some understanding about what you can do with music rather than the traditional orchestral score. And considering Blade Runner by Vangelis is not a normal orchestral score, it's very layered. So I'm very happy about that. So I'm curious to hear that new score, and I want to watch the movie. So there's nothing else to that. All right, so the last quick tidbit news is that we are getting another DC character for The Flash. It's called Elongated Man. Okay, I've always hated Elongated Man's name. That's just too on the nose. It doesn't roll off the tongue very easily. It's not like Mr. Fantastic or even Plastic Man. So Elongated Man is like DC's version of Mr. Fantastic, as I mentioned. Now, the character itself, if you've ever read Brad Meltzer's Identity Crisis, that's a great story in which Ralph loses his wife. And if you see the panel on which he's attending his wife's funeral, it's heartbreaking because literally he's falling apart and he cannot hold himself, and like other people are supporting him. So it's a very endearing character to me to now see finally that being brought to at least to the small screen. The question I have is that how are the effects going to be? Because as if you know, we've had technically 4 Fantastic Four movies. And I'm talking about the one with Roger Corman, the 2 stories with Tim Story, and of course the last one with Josh Trank. So they're all okay. I'm just curious how they're going to work out the whole stretching component. I mean, it always looks weird and goofy, but honestly, when it comes to comics, that's a whole different thing. That you buy it, you accept it. But in this case, anytime you see it done on screen, it just... And I think what the moment that really killed me, and I think it's the second one, or is it the first one? I think it's the second one, in which Mr. Fantastic is dancing on the dance floor, and he's twirling 2 girls on either arm, and of course he's using his stretching abilities, and it's really, really awkward. It's horrible. It's very cringeworthy. So all I can say is that, you know, the CW and DC has got their crap together when it comes to pulling out great characters. I mean, I never thought I would ever see a Hawkman and Hawkgirl come to Legends of Tomorrow, and now we're going to get Elongated Man. So I'm all in. I'm just kind of pissed that we haven't seen Constantine yet, but we are getting an animated series on the CW, at least. But what a great time for us to be a DC fan. So I'm very happy for it. And again, if you have not read The Identity Crisis, do yourself a favor. Go ahead and check that out from your library if you have it. But It's one of my favorite characters. I'm just very... I don't want to say doubtful about how they will portray him. But again, they've done incredible work. I'm sure he will look better than what has been done before in other versions. So we'll leave it at that. All right. So again, I'm not making this a very long podcast. I'm actually on my way to get ready to go to Key West with the family. So I have to end the podcast. So sorry about that. But nonetheless, you got another podcast. Yay. So again, follow me on the various social networks. You can always email me at monstersciifishow@gmail.com. So again, thank you very much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.